This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Good morning, you're on Joy 94.9, broadcasting live across Australia on SBS Digital. My name is Chris Tate, and today I have the pleasure of presenting to you an hour of interviews and music from queer Indigenous artists and leaders. In honour of Koori Gra and our First Nations people, we'd like to dedicate this hour to our queer Indigenous family and present to the wider community some insight you may not have been exposed to yet. Let's begin the hour by playing a song from Adelaide duo Electric Fields. One part of the duo Zachariah Fielding is an Anangal man from the APY lands. After we play the song, we're going to have a chat to Zachariah, and he's going to tell us about growing up in a remote Aboriginal community and then his journey of coming out.
Okay, I remember when we were little, we would hear "Chichichuta in Makwa Pakala." That would be the grandmothers and the grandfathers being like, "Oh, you guys got to get up and dance, okay? Now we got to do the traditional dance." And if we didn't get it right, our grandmothers and grandfathers would be like, "Oh, Chichichuta liprala in Makwa Pakala, alaji alaji," meaning you got to do it like this. You got to do it like this. And when you'd hear, "Eh," that's when you knew they would be very proud of what you did.
Hey, my name is Zachariah Fielding. I am from Mili community and I am a Pidgin Dada Yankun Dada speaker. So memory, I can go by memory. My memory and the picture I can paint from myself is memory being surrounded by rocks, and during winter, memory comes alive is when it's nice and wet and it's all damp, and then that autumn time comes, springtime comes, and everything just grows again. Memory is beautiful. The different color browns, the different color greens, yellows, and, you know, just that fluoro yellow kind of thing that comes through. The color of Mimili, I mean, the communities are just ridiculous. It's like I've lived there before. Like, my soul feels like it's done. It's been here before. Like, Mimili is like home. It's like there's little zaps you get when you walk through these community, like Mimili. For me, I just feel full. I feel loved. I feel acknowledged. I feel like I'm a part of the ground in Mimili. And it's nice to take that when I'm in Western world, like to have that as my ID card. Like, it's my identity. I am sand. I am water. I am sky. I am moon. I am sun. I am all of those things when it comes to, you know, trying to describe how Mimili makes me feel. Yeah.
So tell me about that transition of moving from a remote community to moving to a city.
It was really shit, to be honest. Like, leaving my community for Western world. Like, back home in Mimili, growing up, like, everything was free. You could feel free. You can express yourself however the way you wanted to. With people, we're very touchy people, like touching hair, touching shoulders, like just being so close, and just like, you know, there's no boundaries back home. Like, you're just, everybody's business is everybody's business. And growing up as a kid, like, you were just, you know, it was okay to just walk into this house because the respect level was just, you know, oh, it's just Zachariah, or it's just, oh, there's other kids coming through your yard, like those types of things. But in the Western world, it was really difficult. Like, the body language, like, we back home, you speak body language, not just language and other things. Like, body language over here in the Western world is completely different. You just don't know. You start to feel, you start to learn envy, and you start to learn grief more here, and health, and you kind of learn judgment. You learn fear more. You learn what relationships are, you know, guilt is. You feel failure as well, and change, all of those things. And it was very difficult for me to learn what those things were and how to express them and how to respond.
And let's talk about being queer in a remote community.
Oh, wow. Like, when I was growing up, I got picked on a lot. The kids, my fellow brothers and my sisters from my community, like, really screwed me over, like, made me feel like I was nothing. I was the odd one out, but I was always, like, I don't know. There was something. I don't know what it is, but, like, I didn't really have a good early life, you know, with when it came to that topic. There's definitely, but when it comes to that label of you know, different and me being what I am, they did really pick on that when it came to conversation, and I would be the first one to be attacked. I would never hear anything from, like, elders. Like, I'd only hear it from the kids, but there was conversation around the community. But because my father was very protective, he protected me from that, even though we didn't at that time have a really good relationship.
Since you're owning yourself a lot more, what your relationship is like with your parents or your family?
Oh, my family. Oh, my gosh. I'm with my brother, like, my brothers and sisters. I'm the oldest of nine. And, my community, they just adore me because I've done something good for my community, and I've used language as a positive look for my community. I've been doing nothing but respecting where I come from through my music and with my success and just through living in my life in general. I just have a lot of respect for my roots, and I think that's why I'm very fortunate, because to have a relationship with anybody and everybody, you have to show respect, and that it works both ways.
And that's very much a part of, from my experience living out that way on the Ngunnawal lands, it was definitely, it was like you give respect and you get respect. And
that's it. Yeah, it's 50-50. Yeah.
Like from your perspective, I know it's everyone's story is different, but do you think in general it's difficult for young, queer, Indigenous human beings to and go through the process of coming out?
It is really, really hard, and I feel really, really honoured when I do meet people that do go through that, and it's just interesting hearing their side of the stories and how bad they've had it and how yucky it's like not, it's nowhere compared to my, like I have my story, everybody else has their story, but yeah, it's very difficult for Indigenous mob, and some of them just don't survive it. Some people don't have a good circle, there's not a lot of support for black fellas, you know. I wish that something could happen. I really do. And I don't know. It's also that inner thing as well. You have to, as an individual, really know your worth. You can't just chuck yourself in a group and be like, oh my gosh, this is going to be whatever. It's going to feel good. You have to do a lot of work as well to really cleanse who you are and what you want. And yeah, your sexuality is only one part of who you are. Yeah, so I would love to encourage black followers just to discover themselves, meet their selves for the first time, and really ask yourself and have a conversation with yourself, with your strengths and your weaknesses and what you want to change, and and make decisions carefully and know where those decisions are coming from. Are they coming from a place of love, or are they coming from a place of fear? You just got to really know yourself to if you want to go and challenge and be in a group of people. I love who I am and what I've been doing, but if I didn't take the time out to just really nurture myself and accept all of these things, acknowledge and accept and respect all of these things that I am, I wouldn't be where I am right now if I made a promise and a relationship with myself first.
Do you think it would be even possible to be who you are today if you just say you stayed in Mimalee and went
through? Oh, screw no. No. I wouldn't be where, there was so many people, my soul brothers and my, everybody, even a bus driver, anybody, all of these people I have had the opportunity to meet, I thank them all. I've had a lot of help from good people that I've been fortunate, and I've listened to my gut feeling to be around that a lot. And I got the word Nyiragalo a lot, because when I was growing up, they were like, oh, look at you, you little Nyiragalo, meaning you little prant in one.
You little what?
It's funny now. That you penis and vagina in one. You Nyiragalo, you know what I mean? Nyira means vagina. Galo is the penis.
Yeah.
And they'd be like, Zachariah, you Nyiragalo, you Nyiragalo, Nyiragalo. I just think that I am man, woman in one. I feel like I am everything in one. I feel like I'm working really hard to having a balance of just only being a soul gender. Just I'm a spirit.
That was Zachariah Fielding talking about his experience growing up in a remote Aboriginal community. He is one half of the duo Electric Fields. You can find their music on iTunes. Check them out on Facebook. When we return, we'll be talking to Mark Nanop. You're listening to Joy 94.9 across Australia on SBS Digital.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.